local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Huge game tonight in Oklahoma City. You ever been out there, Chris? Oklahoma City?
No, I have not. I have not frequented.
Yeah.
Our friend Chris Biederman has been there more than a couple times.
He might be there now.
Yeah, he's been there for some pretty terrible... He was there, like, there was a horrible tornado mm-hmm. or something like that he was there for a couple years ago, and... I think he was there earlier this year and something. I think he was there for the Super Bowl. He was in Oklahoma City for the Super Bowl. Yeah. So Chris Biederman and Oklahoma City go hand in hand.
Well, that's where the Kings will be tonight as they try to keep it rolling after defeating the Nets. A bit of a taller task today against the Thunder, who are trying to get that number one spot. They will finish in the top three. So already a successful year for the Thunder. And they're looking for more. Who needs to step up tonight? 916-339-1140. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Steven, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Steven?
Good morning, boys. Good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling to say, man, it was a pleasure to meet you guys yesterday, man. It was a good time, and I appreciated it, man. It was really nice to just kind of go out there and just kind of BS with you guys for a little bit. And yeah, man, that's essentially it, man. It was nice to put a face to all the voices that I listen to every God bless a day, man. So I appreciate it, man. And thank you guys. Appreciate it.
No, we appreciate it.
Thanks
you,
for the
Steven.
Call, Steven. Thanks for coming out. And again, we're going to keep doing this stuff, and it's going to be a fun time. And yeah, Chris and I, we were just looking at the numbers and everything yesterday, and it definitely feels like we've been doing this show longer than 5.5 months, but not in a bad way.
No, no, no.
Not in a bad way at all
just
time.
A lot of stuff that's happened.
A lot of stuff has
we
happened.
We went to the Super Bowl.
We kind
literally
of.
Literally, yeah. Big as the yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where we were. Nate, you said you
God,
had
that
a question.
Like a year ago.
You said you had a question
yeah.
for us.
Well, it's related to last segment. We kind of went over it briefly, but I wanted to build upon it. There was the Calipari guy rather than a Kentucky guy,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that's only a college thing, right? Like, that doesn't apply in the NFL. There's no one in the Patriots dominant era where they were Belichick guys and not Patriots guys. Like, that doesn't work in professional sports. And I was thinking the NBA, there's no one that, like, rides. There's like guys that are on the coattails of coaches that kind of follow them in places, and you know, like Kyle Shanahan has guys like that
yeah.
where when he moved he kind of brought a couple
it's
guys.
It's not the same in college. I mean, you come in at 18, you're
yeah.
you're legal, but you're still so impressionable. Right. It's just different. You're
it's
getting
like a secondary parent.
Yes, you're getting
of
handed
coach.
Off and yeah. and might be your first yeah. probably your first time living away from home.
Yeah.
I just don't think you can compare. You're still maturing and becoming an adult.
I think football is a tough one too, just because there's so many bodies that it's like it's kind of tough
yeah.
to build that kind of a relationship with like
right.
the head coach when
yeah.
he's got like 45 plus different personalities that he's got to juggle. You know, basketball, there's 12 guys. Mm-hmm. If you're a star, you're probably getting a lot more attention than everybody else anyway. And
yeah.
so, you know, you're really catered and trying to make sure you're taken care of. And then, you know, at the college level, yeah, like Alan said, there's still a bit of like, I'm kind of responsible mm-hmm. for turning you into a man. And by the time you get to the pros, it's just like, you know, yeah, we have good relationships, but at the end of the day, like, you could get me fired. So,
right.
you know.
And, yeah. and it also, and the question is, well, what would that entail, right? We're talking about guys helping Arkansas when they went to Kentucky. What is the equivalent of that in the pros,
yeah.
right? Like Thibodeau has guys that will pop up on his team.
Taj Gibson.
Right, right. But, yeah, Taj Gibson's going to go on a podcast and say how much he loves Thibodeau. But there's not really any comparison to, hey, you guys should go play for Tom Thibodeau, where it's about contracts in professional sports.
And stars aren't going to do that in the NBA. Like,
right.
I mean, if you think of – even if you take away, like, cream of the crop, like Steph and LeBron, you take a step down to, I don't know, like a James Harden.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, you should go play for Mike D'Antoni.
It's
right.
just not the
yeah,
same.
That's oh, not yeah. gonna, that's, everyone's gonna
the,
be like, dude,
okay,
this
here
is,
we go.
This is a job.
Loyalty,
the,
yeah.
Only,
yeah.
the only thing, the only comparison I could think of would be free agency. So let's
right.
say Taj Gibson is a big Thibodeau guy, and Donovan Mitchell is a free agent, and Thibodeau and Taj Gibson goes to Donovan and say, hey, man, Thibodeau's going to get you right, yada, yada, yada. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, it's also like in, yeah, in college sports specifically, like, the coaches are the brand.
Yeah.
Like, the teams, the players don't matter as much. It is more so about, oh, my gosh, this is a John Calipari team. Coach K has built this out, and it's not really about Duke. It's about Coach K and everything that comes with that. So
yeah.
I think that plays a big factor into it, too, is just, like, how big of a name these coaches are and how, you know, just how synonymous with everything they are.
Yeah.
They touch everything.
It just, yeah, college is so
it's so
if
different.
I was 17 years old and Devin Booker came to me and was like, you got to come play for Arkansas.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm like, where do I sign?
Yeah, I'm going.
To be
right?
fair, though, yeah. I would say college is different, but it's less different now with NIL. Devin Booker and the whole gambit of Kentucky dudes or Cal guys sure. can say, come here. But if Arkansas is giving you $2 million
right.
and LSU's giving you $4 million.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's that for a lot of, I mean, a lot of these guys, that's like unheard of money, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
That's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of players that come from like former players, parents or whatever. So there's
yeah.
money there, but I don't know. So many more. You're right about the impressionable thing.
Yeah.
If just getting those guys there. And then by the time you're a pro, you've just matured. I think, yeah.
Though you could even counter and say, as a counter to Alan's point there, like maybe that Devin Booker stamp of approval makes up for that $2 million.
Yeah, right.
Like you could say, yeah. hey, yeah, LSU's offering me $4 million, but I still get $2 million. And you're telling me I get to go to Arkansas and yeah, Devin Booker's going to come talk to me after the game
right.
or whatever. I can go work out with these guys in the offseason. Like, I think that's where the Calipari pull
Bigger
has
brand.
Always worked.
And if I'm going to be a pro and NIL money, it's like, if I'm good enough, I'll get sponsorships.
Oh,
I'll
yeah.
make money doing whatever.
Exactly.
And if I'm going to be in the NBA, dude, $2 million, yeah. I'm going to – that's, you know – a day in the life, like that's nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's upfront. It'll be a lot of conversations about upfront money versus money once you're
down
there
the line,
and
yeah.
because you're with Cal and because you're surrounded by other stars and Drake and guys like that, you'll in the end make more money to yeah. going to a Cal-less Kentucky basketball team. But yeah, good question, Nate. I think the whole thing is changing, and I sit there and think about, you know, my daughter and if she wants to play sports, not that she's going to have a choice, but when she's playing sports, that the whole NIL, I think about it now, but it's going to be completely different by the time.
What do you want her to play? Just real quick here.
Real quick. I mean, it really depends, right? Basketball would be cool. Softball, obviously, with the connection of baseball and things like that. But yeah, I'd be down for all of it. Speaking of, there was someone, a young lady, Cal State San Marcos, who played in a baseball and softball game all in one day. She, Jillian Albayati, played softball and baseball in the same day for Cal State San Marcos. She went 2-for-6 for Cal State San Marcos softball after taking the mound for the baseball team.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. That's the first time that's ever been done. She made history for Division II Cal State San Marcos. When we return, talking Kings, who needs to step up, also some injury updates. Will SGA play? And we'll talk about what his logo would look like if he got one. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Keeping it rolling, Stiles and Watkins. Little injury update for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Still waiting on the official injury report. That should be coming in about an hour. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not included at all in the OKC injury report. As recent as yesterday, he has missed a good handful of games here, especially recently. Him and Jalen Williams have missed some time, but Shea not featured on the injury report. And Jalen Williams, questionable. Keegan Murray, also questionable on the Kings side. So, you know, that's definitely if Keegan doesn't play, that's not boding well, as the Kings really can't afford to lose any more key players, as Keegan has definitely stepped up here recently and taken a lot more of the offensive load. But yikes, if Keegan can't go, and, you know, hopefully Jalen Williams can't go if Keegan can't, but having Shea back is definitely good news for OKC, bad news when it comes to the Kings front.
What happened to Keegan?
They're saying a calf injury. You know, I didn't particularly remember seeing any moment where Keegan limped or anything like that. I think he finished his minutes, at least. I don't remember him being pulled or at any point. So must have just tweaked it or something like that. But yeah, questionable with a calf.
Well, if Keegan can't play, I mean, that's a problem. Are we thinking that we talked about some of the smaller guards, right? And Davion Mitchell being able to help out there. It's got to be all, you know, Chris, I'm worried about this. Keon Ellis on Shea. Keon's been fouling a little bit more recently, or it's been getting called more. I don't know which is actually the situation. I don't like that combination of a foul merchant like Shea against somebody like Keon Ellis.
Keon did pretty well on him. What was it? The last time, or earlier in the season, when De'Aaron couldn't go, Keon, that was like Keon's first start of his career. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Shea had 33, but he was 14 of 25. Only went to the line 6 times. And yeah, I mean, really, that was a case looking at it here. Nobody else really gave anything. Shea had 33. Jalen Williams had 14. Chet had 12. Giddy had 13. Nobody else was in double figures. So that was maybe an early indication that lineups with Keon Ellis just are much better defensively. That game ended 98-105 when De'Aaron didn't play. So I would guess that that's probably the formula they're going to want to keep tonight is, you know, let Shea cook. Shea's an MVP. He scores 30 pretty much every single night. Don't let J-Dub get cooking. Definitely, I think the key tonight is you cannot let we've done a great job of suppressing Chet Holmgren every time we've played them. You cannot let him get cooking. He is not the same guy that he was when you saw him earlier in the year. He's now got a full season under his belt. He's played every single game for OKC this season after missing the entirety of his rookie year. He has improved so much post All-Star break. You can't let him start feeling himself, because that's the one thing the Kings have done excellent at, and I think it's a big reason why they've done so well against OKC so far this year.
If I'm remembering correctly, because I just would assume that they would get burned if they did this, they really haven't had, and you talked about Keon, because he has defended Shea well in the past, and first game back, right, from missing a couple, maybe Shea's not fully there yet. There's some rust. I might just be hopeful thinking, but I don't think we'll see a lot of blitzing tonight, I hope we don't see a lot of blitzing tonight.
I don't really think you can, just because of, I mean, yeah, everybody else around OKC. Like, I'm sure you'll show, you know, on the other side of the screen, but ultimately, in terms of hard doubling to try and get the ball out of Shea's hands, probably not, just because there's so many guys out there that can make a play. Jalen Williams is a great playmaker. If you have Giddy out there, that's literally what he's out there to do. And then, you know, Chet can stretch the floor. It's probably not in your best interest here. And I'm looking, Shea has actually been pretty down here recently leading into that injury. He had a 12-point game, a 24-point game, missed 2 games, and then came back for 1 and scored 19. So there definitely might be something to what you're saying there about him possibly being a little bit rusty here. He hasn't played consistently since the end of March.
You know why?
So it's been a couple weeks.
You know why else?
Are they positioning themselves to play an opponent that they, I don't know. Why is that?
Take a look at his free throws. I'm sure they're down because they're calling less fouls.
Yeah.
And he's a foul merchant.
I'm looking since March 15th. So the 16th on, 6, 6, 6, 3, 6, 4. Previously to that, 15, 6, 2, 11, 12, 9, 7, 9, 9, 10, 9. Like, so yeah, I mean, you're definitely on to something there.
Keep it going tonight, refs. Don't change.
Yeah, don't switch up.
Don't switch up now. Do not switch up now.
That Cole album's going to, or that Cole apologies having everybody.
Might delete later. Might call a foul later. Cannot have that at all. I mean, yeah, Jalen Williams, that's a guy, and I know, I don't even have to ask you, because I know for a fact, because it's not really that hot of a take. Everybody would love to have somebody like Jalen Williams on their team.
I love Jalen Williams so much. He is the exact kind of player that I would build in like a 2K. Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking about a 6. I mean, he's honestly kind of undersized. I think he's listed at 6'6", maybe 6'7". But he's got a huge wingspan, so he plays bigger than what he actually is. Playmakes, he's at 4.6 assists per game this season. That's like Malik Monk territory, so as much creation as you see Malik doing, think of Jalen Williams, except Jalen Williams also averages 19.5 points per game this year, which is what you want from Keegan. So this is like if you were to, in a way, almost merge Keegan with Malik, and that's kind of what you're getting with Jalen Williams. Just a really, really good player. Really solid on the defensive end. Definitely making strides there. He's shooting 43% from three this year on 3.5 attempts, so not huge volume. Mm-hmm. But just is an absolute monster, an absolute problem. And the Kings would definitely be a lot better off if Jalen Williams can't go tonight. He has missed a good handful of games, like I said. I can get an exact number here, but it's been a while since Jalen Williams has consistent. It's been this will be his fifth missed game if he misses tonight. And I think, yeah, he's played pretty consistently, actually, a lot more consistently than I would have thought in the month of March. So, you know, yeah, he has not played so far in the month of April. And I would think that that's not for rest reasons or anything like that. I would guess that that is legitimately because he has an injury. Because, like we've said, they are legitimately fighting for the top three seeds. They are a game back of the number one seed right now.
And is it still the setup? The setup is the Nuggets and the T-Wolves are tied.
Yes.
Right? And then the Thunder are a game back.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're definitely looking to get back on the right track. And look, this is what the young guns do. This is what the young kids do. They believe that they have the horses to be able to play at a high level for the duration of the season and sneak into that one seed where you got a Nuggets team playing without Jamal Murray. You got a T-Wolves team playing without Karl-Anthony Towns, even though the Thunder, they were missing SGA. I think it's just going to be full speed ahead for all of these teams. And honestly, this has been the team to where I've been truly surprised every time the Kings have beat them.
Yeah.
Because they've been so good everywhere else. And maybe it's a thing. Maybe the Kings are a bad matchup. But at the same time, it's like, well, this is a Kings team now missing. Is it because of De'Aaron? It's a bonus because you're missing Malik and Herter.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a bad matchup for them. I think the Kings do match them pretty well player for player. You know, yeah, Jalen Williams, I'm looking at it here. He's actually listed at 6'5", which is a lot shorter than I would have thought. So in a weird way, maybe the Kings do have the length advantage over OKC. It's not really something you would think about, but, you know, by having De'Aaron Fox, De'Aaron's 6'4", Shea's 6'6", pretty much a wash there. And then you have Giddey, who is pretty big as well, but doesn't really use that size. Jalen Williams at 6'5". You have Keegan, who's 6'8", 6'9". That's advantage Kings. HB on, I'm trying to think, I don't even know who their fourth guy is that they throw out there. But then we know Sabonis and Chet. So it seems like a real front court, back court thing. The Kings seem to have the advantage in the front court. OKC might have the size advantage in the back court. But I think that it's a really good matchup. And I'm looking at the standings, too. If the Kings beat OKC tonight, giving the Kings a much better shot at getting that six seed, you pretty much guarantee that if you do get that six seed, OKC would be the team you play. So I think that's also a major positive is you're then – you if the Kings win, they have the 3-1 season series victory over OKC. You feel good about yourself in that matchup. Again, we've talked about it all season long, but that's a team where – they have just as much, if not even less experience than you do in a playoffs. I think that's the team that you have to circle and say, look, if we're going to be the underdog seed, we'd probably prefer to go against those guys just because of all of those factors. And, you know, you do yourself a whole lot of favors if you can beat them tonight and then, of course, take care of business the rest of the way. That'll be your first round opponent. And, you know, I think that's a pretty favorable matchup for how – rocky this end of the season has been for Sacramento.
The plan is right there.
It's crazy.
The plan is right there. It's nuts. Can you execute? When we return, talking about Domas, who opens up about deleting his social media and just really clearing his head and the mental side of all of that. Also, we have an answer to who is more delusional between Laker fans and Warrior fans. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
A bit of basketball news in a different sense. Tennessee judge rules Ja Morant acted in self-defense when he punched a teenager during an altercation at a pickup game in 2022. And Chris, you were reading it during the break. I guess it's because the teenager threw the ball at him first?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Essentially, they're saying that the altercation that happened was at Ja's house. And for those unfamiliar, it was, like two summers ago, I guess. Ja Morant was hosting a pickup game in his backyard, and there was a teenager back there who, I think he was 17 years old, threw a basketball at Ja and then allegedly stepped to him, and then Ja hit him, and then I think his friend as well hopped on and hit him as well. His friend was arrested on scene, I believe, for assault, and it has been found out that the judge has ruled it as self-defense. Essentially saying because the teenager was the instigator in the situation by throwing the ball and then stepping to Ja. Ja had the right to defend himself in that moment. And apparently they're saying that it was on the defense's case to prove that it wasn't self-defense. So there you go. Not necessarily not saying Ja is innocent of what is being said, but
right.
It doesn't have to necessarily face many or doesn't have to face any charges.
Yeah, and there you have it, Ja trying to.
I think it's interesting.
Yeah,
just because it's because it is like kind of a push and pull of the kid did kind of start it, but at the same time, Ja Morant's a millionaire and like probably shouldn't put himself in that kind of situation to knock out a teenager. Like that's not gonna. Maybe he kind of thought it wouldn't get out at all, but. I don't know. Taking the millionaire aspect out of it, let's just say this happens on the pickup court, which I'm sure this exact scenario has happened.
Oh, no, I've seen it
many a time.
Yeah.
It's just like, I would always just say, don't be that guy, but those guys are there. And if somebody throws a ball at you and, it takes two to tango, I don't know really who, if we're just talking about two normal Joe randoms here. I don't know how that case necessarily goes. I don't know who I would side with.
So if right, and I know Ja is young. If this happened in 2022, it is now 2024. The teenager was 17. Ja was 22. So the teenager was 17, and Ja was 22.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
So the age isn't terribly
egregious.
Yeah,
it's not
like
Ja's like 32. You know, he's not a complete,
And
he's still a little young and,
now we have to do the thing.
That spirit.
I'm just assuming if you're hooping with Ja Morant, he doesn't have any scrubs out there.
That's true.
I'm assuming they were similar sizes. I
would guess. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's not like it's literally like a 5'7" kid
that he's just clocked in the face, right? I mean, I'm just assuming.
I think
that.
It's a fair assumption.
Yeah. All things considered, Ja can sit there and say, okay, that's one I can check off the list, right?
Yeah, one incident
on his kind of path to redemption.
Still got a couple more he's got to figure out.
If you will. Wow. Yeah. Interesting stuff there.
I would definitely say don't throw the ball at somebody.
No, especially not at their crib.
That's also a good point.
Yeah. Right. You're at Ja Morant's house and you want to see if you're about that life. And Ja's trying to prove that he's about that life.
And how much of this was kind of what that kid, who knows how much time he had to calculate all this, but how much of it was like, Ja ain't going to hit me. He's got too much to lose.
Right.
And Ja said, I bet.
And if he does, I'm going to sue.
Yeah.
I know that they do that. There are people out there that if they know celebrities are hot-headed,
oh, yeah,
they will instigate because they're chasing a check.
It happens with paparazzi all the time, right? People are like, oh, Kanye West, like, Heisman'd me. And, like, you know, he scratched my nose. Like, that's a loss. And it's like, well, yeah, but you were also, like, blocking off his path and asking him terrible questions. So, you know, and, you know, maybe that's
I'm
not
sure
the
judges
example,
hate.
It's got to be the worst. It's got to
like
be
that.
The worst. It's just like, okay. Like, because you already see what it is. You're like, okay, this is a kid who literally, again, laid it out. You know, he's trying to get money, and this is a millionaire who, you know, can probably pay it off.
In a weird way, hang with me now. Mm-hmm. In a weird way, is that somewhat similar to the Kings-Celtics thing? Because did they miss something? Yes, they did miss the foul.
Uh-huh.
But you know that if the Celtics hadn't taken out their guys at 9 minutes, you wouldn't have won that game. If somebody of a paparazzi gets punched in the face, and technically, yes, you got punched in the face, so it's an assault, but you know you were trying to get punched in the face.
Yeah, I don't think it's perfect, but I hear what you're saying. You know, I see where your brain is making the connections.
You know
what?
It's just like we both know this didn't happen organically.
Yes, exactly.
Or
there
in
you
the
go.
Way that it was supposed to happen.
The way it might be being presented. Yes,
exactly.
Yes,
it needs context.
Yes,
as everything
there you go.
Does. Speaking of context, I got a kick out of this, Chris. Yesterday, we talked about who is more delusional between Laker fans and Warrior fans.
Yes.
And Bodog, who, you know, just does sports content, the nation's top sports book. Hmm. At least that's what they say.
Bodog?
Bodog. They posted this, and they ranked the last 10 NBA champions. Okay.
Okay.
So number one and number two, the KD Warriors.
Of course.
3 was the 2014 Spurs. Number four, the 2016 Cavs.
Okay.
Number five, the 2019 Raptors. Number six, I don't know about that. Number six, the 2015 Warriors. Okay. Seven, the 2023 Nuggets. Eight, the 2021 Bucks. Nine, the 2022 Warriors. And 10, the 2020 Lakers.
Okay. Like some of those are better than others. I think you have to have like all the Warrior teams probably
a little bit higher.
Top five.
Yeah. Nuggets should be higher.
I think the Nuggets should probably, I think that's my biggest complaint is I would have the Nuggets above that Raptor team.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me that they would have them that high. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, yeah, they did beat a KD Warriors team, but there was a lot of outside circumstances that went into that. You know, Clay got hurt that series. KD obviously went out. I think DeMarcus had just come back from an injury and was playing through it. Yeah, that's a tough one.
One thing to say on Bodog, they had, I noticed something, they had CA after their name, and when you click on their, they're Canadian. They're Canadian.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense.
The Toronto thing.
That's
I was
right.
like, okay.
That's, gotcha. That makes
that's
sense.
That's the Toronto thing.
So I see this, and I think what's happening now with the Lakers and that 2020 year is that so many people were calling it Mickey Mouse, calling it a bubble ring, that it probably did cross over into a little disrespectful for the Lakers and that team. So now what happens is it's going completely back in the other direction, and this random Laker dude on social, and it went viral, which is how he actually covers the Lakers for All Access Lakers, so I'm sure he is
unbiased.
Objective on this whole thing. He says, besides the KD Warriors, 2020 Lakers are washing every team here. And that's why we can't stand y'all. Like, you can say, hey, I don't think the Lakers should be number 10. But they just can't. They cannot help themselves but to just take it the complete different direction.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I'm going to look at the roster here. I feel like they're doing too much of the, look at the names on the roster without the context of how they played for that team. Like, you know, because they're going to say, you had Kyle Kuzma on that team. You had Rondo, J.R. Smith. KCP was on that team. Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso was just chilling on the bench for that team. Danny Green, Talen Horton Tucker, LeBron, our guy JaVale. Like, they have a lot of names there, but the reality of how those guys were playing for that season, like, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm not personally one who discredits the bubble title. I think it's totally legitimate. I think it's very hard in its own unique way of winning it. There's obviously some advantages that they had as well, but I think all in all, like, it should count equally as a title. I just don't think that team is, I mean, it's by no fault of their own. They're just going against some pretty generational teams there. Like, yeah. You know, the KD Warriors, which they at least
they conceded the KD Warriors.
There. Yeah, but
only
then,
those Warriors.
Come on, like, you're trying to tell me that the other Warrior championship team didn't deserve to be in that spot. The 2016 Cavs, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Those, the Cavs would have won like two or three titles if the Warriors didn't exist. So that's insane. The 2014 Spurs gets completely forgotten about in time.
Right.
That team just boat race that Miami, like, the Heat didn't stand a chance
right.
in that final. So, you know, yeah, I think the Lakers, maybe they deserve to be 9, but I have got no problem with them at 10.
Laker fans are more delusional than Warrior fans. At least for now. We will see once this play-in starts. When we return, we will hear from DeMontis Sabonis and some of the changes he's made for his social media. Also, pocket watching. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Sometimes it's good to clear your mind. And DeMontis Sabonis talked about that and doing it at the beginning of the season on the Woj Pod. Real quick, got to update Chris. Saw during the break, Jason Anderson. Keegan is available tonight, which is huge. Huge, huge, huge.
Huge.
That Keegan will be available tonight. Now let's get back into Domas talking about deleting his social media.
You know, me personally, I deleted all my social media beginning of the season. You know, it's been the best thing ever. You know, you don't have to worry about any of that, and you just go out there and play your game. You know, you have your coaches, you have your family, you have your teammates, and their opinion is the only one that matters, you know, so you just got to go out there and trust your game and play.
It impacts your mental health, doesn't it?
For sure.
Your clarity of mind.
Yeah. No matter what it is, good or bad, you know, it's just something's creeping in your mind, you know, so better not to even see it, in my opinion.
This was the first year you did that?
Yeah, completely, yeah.
How dramatic of a difference is it?
Oh, it's amazing. You have a lot more free time, you know, your mind is clear. It doesn't matter. Basically, you watch film and you try and learn by yourself. You don't need to read or hear anything from anyone else, you know, because at the end of the day, you're the one on the court playing.
God, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
my question.
Woj saying that is hilarious.
I know. I know.
Wish I could do. Okay, buddy.
My question, just initially, on not questioning anything Domas said, but my question is, I do wonder how it works with these athletes when it comes to how hands-on they are with social media.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the posts we don't think are from them.
Right, you'd assume it's from their, whatever their team is.
Yes, we know.
Their quote-unquote team.
We HB know posting at halftime.
Yeah, yes, right, exactly, stuff like that. We know KD, he loves to be on. We know that that's him. But, and I know different mediums are different. I feel like, no, I don't know how many athletes are actually on their Instagrams, but maybe.
I think a lot.
It's confusing. Well, yeah, it depends on what you're trying to do.
I would say DMs a lot more
are closed. Well, DMs are closed.
My big question with this is you're losing a giant revenue of money if you're like deactivating, right? You have to run through someone else. But then people aren't going to follow you if all you're posting is, hey, I'm drinking Athletic Greens. Yeah, you know.
I mean, you'd be surprised, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But the way I look at it is like, dang, you're going to miss out on a lot of money, but it might be worth it.
I think that the toughest social media for somebody like Domas, I don't think it's Instagram because, I mean, people are DMing him, hey, you were trash.
Right.
But it's Twitter.
I think it's Twitter.
I have an example right here I was going to ask you guys about. In the response for the audio I just played,
yeah,
Claw World on Twitter, that's a pretty popular account, right? Mm-hmm. Posted a, he replied, I wonder why he deleted social media, posting a picture of a poll Who do you hate the most?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Sabonis, KD, LeBron, Curry. One does not belong there. However,
so random.
Curry's 21.
Should be higher.
LeBron's 18. KD's 20%. Sabonis is 41%.
Yeah.
And this is
how
almost
do you even have that strong of feelings on him?
This is almost 800 votes. And it's like, what? I didn't know people hate him like this. What is it? What is it? Why?
It's the shoulder, shoulder, shoulder.
Is that
they, no? It is. They really think that he's not like they say shoulder, he's got no bag.
Shoulder,
that's
shoulder.
What it
that's,
is.
So, dude, so many people hate LeBron. So many people hate KD.
They push it aside.
A lot of people hate Curry. So it's just wild. To
it's
me.
Insane. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do wonder how other athletes that probably get, and that's just some stupid poll, but athletes that we know get more hate than Sabonis.
Russell Westbrook, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how they would say. And remember, after that game, yeah. Russell actually spent, and I was so mad because everything happened so fast after the Kings beat the Clippers. I look up and I see Westbrook talking to Sabonis for a decent amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, is this actually happening or is it?
They used to be teammates.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was pulling out my phone to take a video, and Westbrook walked away. But it was at least 3-minute convo. Uh-huh. And I do wonder if some of that was, hey, don't listen to the haters, things like that. Because, yeah, I think that Sabonis might not be that high on the list. That's not to say whether or not he should remove it. But in this day and age, it would be really hard to not have it, to Nate's point about different revenue opportunities and just being – you know, just branding and things like that. So I wonder how long he'll go with it. We know LeBron does the
Zero
shutdown
Dark 23
during the playoffs, which could be quick this season. Well, not according to Laker fans because they're going to the finals.
That's right, all the way.
So, yeah, there's just a lot of different ways to deal with stuff like that. Me personally, I've never taken a break from social media. I probably should, but I never have. But can I talk about a pet peeve real quick?
Sure.
I do have a pet peeve with people who announce it.
Ah, like posting on social media
hey
to
guys,
say you're quitting social media.
Taking a break.
Hit me up if you need me.
If you need me, you got my number. Yeah. Hit me up. I do.
Yes,
I don't
agree.
Need you to say that.
The 150 bots that follow you really care, man. That's awesome.
And the funniest part about it is those people that do that are normally back like 2 weeks later.
Always.
Yeah,
just quietly.
It's an attention. Yeah, yeah.
Just quietly.
It's a real addiction, man.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a rule when I'm in my house, no video scrolling apps. So no like Instagram Reels. No, I don't have TikTok installed, but no YouTube Shorts while I'm in the house. Because it's a killer. It is a killer.
I don't know if so you only do it when you're out in public?
When I'm not at home. So like,
when I'm at dinner or when I'm...
No, like at work, or if I'm at like
I'm a producing a show.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, that's the rule.
If I'm just sitting on my couch, then I don't want to be scrolling. But if someone needs sound.
If I'm
sound,
at work, if I'm spending quality time with my girl.
I'm scrolling.
That's when
those
I'm scrolling.
Those are better times
when
to
I
be
need
scrolling.
To be distracted.
Yeah.
You know?
When I'm driving, just things like that.
Wow. Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, I hear the spirit of it.
Yes. It's more like DMV, but yeah, it's also, yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
No,
I
hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's
I don't think I could. I don't think I could do it.
How many people
I would blame it on our job.
You guys need it for work, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I don't even look at my, you know, you get the little notification.
This fool lives on Twitter.
Weekly screen time available. I don't even look because I'd just be embarrassed.
There's no way. Yeah, I don't know if I track my.
How many people have you blocked on
on Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot. Let me see, actually. That's a great... do you have a number that you think you blocked?
When I check, it's always higher than I
realize. Are you guys muters or blockers?
I'm it depends. If you annoy me, I have a really long leash.
Oh, I am a blocker, actually.
I have a really long leash. That's why I block.
Chris is having a revelation
right
now.
Well, I just remembered that, like, I'll block... like those sites, like the Abrian Wojnarowski, like anything tries to intentionally fool me, I block immediately.
That's
because
way
I'm like,
different.
I cannot have this ruin a moment for me. I can't be on air and then be like, guys, breaking
bombshell.
De'Aaron Fox has been traded for Malik Monk. Like,
yeah, no.
I can't have that.
No, that's fair. Yeah,
I mute a lot of stories on Instagram or people just because they post so much nothing, but I don't want to unfollow these people because then it's a then it's a, why did you unfollow me? And I'm like, dude, leave me alone.
That's the worst question you could ever
On Instagram?
Muting is sick. Muting is so cool. The best weapon
nobody
ever.
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Because if you block someone, you're trying to make it, you want them to see that you block
them. Even blocking, like unfollowing. Like if I'm just annoyed with someone I know in real life and they're constantly putting stuff up, that's annoying, mute. It's easy.
I don't even know how to check who I've blocked.
Dave might have muted me.
Oh, I've blocked 8 accounts. I've blocked
that's
8 accounts
bad.
And I've muted 10.
On Instagram?
On Twitter.
Twitter.
I don't believe Instagram I've done any. I just don't follow people.
I have muted 1 account and I've blocked 39.
Yeah. What kind of people are you blocking?
Just people that don't know when to stop.
That are just hating on Alan?
Yeah, I mean, it's just more of if you're just annoying me and we've done our back and forth and I've given you the time of day and just continued, then I'm just going to block you.
They got their 15 minutes of fame.
Exactly.
It's over, bro.
You're not going to clout chase on me.
Yeah, you're not going to ride Alan's coattails.
I'm also not a fan of people, and like this is a really random pet peeve, but like not to be like the follower to following ratio guy, but like if you follow 20,000 people and you have 22,000 followers, I'm like, was this really worth it for you? Like your feed has to be
a mess.
Disgusting. You don't even use the app. Like I follow,
unless you're muting,
I follow 425 people and that's incredibly low. I'm very aware, but I would much rather keep my follower list to people that I actually care about and have however many followers I have than like just doing the follow for follow thing to get my numbers up.
But I'll tell you what, that infinite scrolling that Nate talked about, don't let me get infinite scrolling, because if somebody hasn't liked one of my stories and you know, baby Sal's is looking cute and I'm just bored and I decide to check and I realize they're not following me, they get unfollowed with the quickness. Because then I'm thinking,
oh no,
did you ever follow me? What's going on here?
Jeez.
That was the most, what we're not Gen Z, so what's the one in front of Gen Z? Are you Gen Z?
I don't think so.
I don't know, dude.
I actually honestly
none of that
don't
stuff
know
matters.
Because I don't, you know, I don't, yeah. I honestly have no idea what I would be considered.
So, yeah, I'm a millennial.
I don't know. I guess maybe I guess I might be a Gen Z.
I think you're at the end.
Right on the cusp of it.
You're
so
right
I'm 95.
There. Yep.
If you got it in front of you.
Yep. You're millennial.
I'm a millennial. Okay.
You're a millennial.
I think I'm happy about that.
But are you?
But does it matter?
Does it?
It doesn't.
Pocket watching when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.